I suppose no one has looked at the Anuim calendar lately, and probably no one knows that we had originally scheduled a thematic mass for today, and so no one is thinking that the theme of today's mass is the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. But that's in fact what we had originally planned. We can't do it because we're locked down. There's only two people here. We have no choir. This is just one more of a very long list of canceled events. But I still want to reflect on the theme. I think it's a good theme. It's the last line of today's gospel. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Actually, this line of Jesus is an absolute bombshell. It's a shocker. I don't know if we can get the sense of it because it doesn't sound like anything to us, but it's something like the, remember when Pope Benedict announced that he was going to resign? It was like not just a surprise, it was a stunning surprise. The whole world was shocked by it. That's a bombshell. Well, this statement of Jesus is like that. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. It comes in a kind of surprising setting. They're walking through the field of grain. The disciples are eating some of the grain. It's on the Sabbath. Not very significant, but the Pharisees say, well, you're doing something that's not permitted on the Sabbath. Now, it's hard to tell how serious they thought the offense was. Sometimes you get the impression from the Pharisees that everything is a serious offense. And sometimes, just to give them the benefit of the doubt, some offenses are worse than others. What they really wanted to do was find Jesus doing a very serious offense. But in the meantime, they can easily catch the disciples not washing their hands, as we saw on last Sunday, or we can see them picking a few heads of grain on the Sabbath, and they can point out, oh, that's against the law. You know, the more rules there are, the more policemen there are. The more rules there are, the more people there are to point out whether we are or are not following the rules. I think this has been our experience during quarantine. There are a lot more rules now, and everyone is very willing to take the role of policeman to point out whether we are or especially are not following the rules. This is a very typical phenomenon. In fact, you see it in police states, places that are controlled by, for example, military government or tyranny, or in communism. You see this. There are lots and lots of rules, and everybody has to obey, and everybody enforces. This is what has given a lot of people the suspicion that some of these quarantine rules are not about public health, but about control. Once a government or any authority gets a taste of being in power, it's an insatiable thirst. And people in power want more power. So it's certainly true that that's a phenomenon in human history and in human nature. Whether it applies to these safety protocols or not, I don't know. It's certainly something to ask, because it does seem like there's a lot more rules that don't make much sense than there are rules that make good sense. But anyway, the rule of the Pharisees was you can't pick grain. That's harvesting, that's work, that's a violation of the Sabbath. Jesus, in response to their question, asks them a question. Have you never heard what David did? Okay, so he goes to a well-established scriptural example of someone who was not a violator of God's law, someone who was after the heart of God, King David himself. David did something that, according to the letter of the law, was forbidden. He ate the holy bread. He even gave it to his men. So Jesus, in bringing up this example, is saying, okay, are you going to apply every single rule to every single person? Are you going to be so legalistic that even this insignificant act is going to be judged as a violation of the Sabbath? What about David? Was that a violation? No. Therefore, not everything that you think is against the rules is really against the rules. So he's gently saying, don't be so quick to judge everybody about every rule. Maybe there's something legitimate here. In the case of the disciples, maybe they're just hungry. Maybe they haven't eaten yet, and they're just eating a little bit of grain. So don't make a big deal out of it. So that's the context. And you could imagine the lawyers sitting down and saying, okay, let's try to figure out what is an offense, what's not an offense, how serious it is. And that's a legitimate question for lawyers to debate. I remember Jesus, in another setting, mentioned how if your son fell into a pit on the Sabbath, you would certainly take him out. And it wouldn't be a violation of the Sabbath. And in that setting, the interrogators didn't say anything. So, but I mean, the point is, yeah, there are rules and they apply on the Sabbath and we respect the Sabbath, but not every single thing is a big offense. After this little conversation about what's a violation of the Sabbath and what's not, Jesus drops this bombshell. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He's not just adding another point to the discussion. He's launching it into a higher level completely. Not about rules, but about who makes the rules. Not about violation, but about the one who is over it all. Now, it doesn't strike us this way because Son of Man doesn't necessarily mean anything to us. Lord doesn't always connote what he means. And Sabbath doesn't mean anything. So it's like we were to say something like the stock market rallied last Friday afternoon. We'll say, well, I never understood the stock market and rally. Well, I guess it's a good thing. And I mean, you say, okay, fine. What's for lunch? In other words, it doesn't seem that significant to us if the stock market rallied on Friday afternoon. I guess it's good. Or maybe a better way of saying this, since he's talking about a person, what if we were to say, Junjun is captain of the pioneers? You say, well, okay. I don't know who Junjun is. Captain sounds like a good thing. Pioneers, maybe, what are they? Maybe a sports team or something. So that's how it strikes us. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, because we don't know who he's identifying, and we don't think of the Sabbath that much. So it doesn't, in the modern ears, sounds like a vague, generic good thing. It's not. He's making an astounding declaration here. First of all, Son of Man. Son of Man, it was one of Jesus' favorite ways of referring to himself. He's the Son of Man. And Son of Man is a kind of ambiguous term. It can mean simply a member of the human family. We're all sons of men, sons and daughters. Everybody, it's a kind of poetic way of describing anybody who's a human being. But Son of Man is also, in the Old Testament, a term that describes a mysterious figure who receives power and authority. It's a messianic title. It's a grand figure, the Son of Man. And Jesus means both of these things when he says he's Son of Man. He's both a member of the human family, like all of us, but he's also someone who is over all of us, who is the Messiah, who is sent by God for our salvation. So he's talking about himself as the Son of Man. And then he says he's Lord of the Sabbath, meaning he has authority over the day of the Lord. Well, who has authority over the day of the Lord? Only the Lord himself. So to those Jews who were very serious about respecting the Sabbath, they would have heard this as an absolute a claim to be God, to have the authority of God over God's holy day. Shocking. Blasphemous. Now, here we are in the endless quarantine, and we don't have public masses. So people, if they worship on the Lord's Day at all, they have to do it online. And that's become the custom for anybody who still worships. I hope many people do, but we don't know how many people join the online masses. And people are saying, well, you know, it's easier anyway. It's easier. You don't have to get up and get in a tricycle or walk to the church, especially in the rainy season. It's a lot easier to join the mass online. You've heard me say this before. It's not easier. It's easier in the sense that you don't have to go anywhere. But it's a lot harder to worship looking at a computer than it is in a church. It's a lot harder to worship when you're alone, sitting where you're sat every other day for the whole week, watching the same gadget that you were watching all week long. It's a lot harder to make the shift to prayer than if you got up and made the effort to go to a church. I know this is not legal now, but hopefully this week the restrictions will be lifted. And to go to a church and in the presence of God, in the house of God, with the people of God, to worship God. That's actually what we're made for. We're made for worship of God. We're not made for looking at gadgets all week long. So this is the idea of Sabbath, that there is a sacred time. There's something that belongs to God, and we are responsible to respect that possession of God. It's part of our identity that we are creatures of God, and God deserves proper respect. That's the nature of religion. It's giving God his due. So to miss this is to not only miss something so fundamental to reality, it's also to not understand who we ourselves are. So part of the reason why this expression, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, doesn't have much impact on us is because we've lost the sense of Sabbath. We've lost the sense of sacred day, holy day, something that belongs to God, which we are supposed to respect. Keep holy the Lord's Day. Keep holy the Lord's Day. Even if we can't go to Mass in person, we have to keep holy the Lord's Day. We have to put God first. It's the very first commandment of all. The Lord is God. Now, I've had people ask me, where does it say in the Bible, where does Jesus say in the Bible, I'm God? Well, he doesn't walk around and say to people, I'm God, because it wouldn't work. Then it would be an obvious blasphemy, and they would just throw stones at him, and that'd be the end of it. Not only that, their idea of God was too small. Jesus is the Son of the Father. His mission is to reveal the Trinity and unite us with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Walking up to people and saying, I am God, just won't do it. So this statement, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, is about as daring as he could be to reveal who he is without it backfiring on the audience that he's speaking to. But this is really a statement of Jesus' own divine authority. He has an authority that belongs only to God. Therefore, he is God. How else would he get that authority? Now, the last step, I want to take here in this reflection is, if Jesus is God, if he has authority, it's not enough for us simply to say, okay, that's good, that's fine. Now we are responsible ourselves to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ in our life. The question is not, is the Son of Man Lord of the Sabbath? The question is the Son of Man, is Jesus Lord of your life? Are you worshiping him, serving him, dedicating your life to him? Because if you're not, something's missing. Something serious is seriously wrong. So it's not just a bombshell for the Pharisees. It's a bombshell for us. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Paul says no one can say that without the Holy Spirit. The fact is, we have received the Holy Spirit. It makes it possible for us to believe, to have faith that Jesus is Lord, and to order our lives toward his mission, toward his kingdom. We belong to him. He is our Lord. Jesus is Lord. And we rejoice to proclaim it and to make our life a declaration that Jesus is indeed not only Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of me and of you and of everyone. Amen.